good. It's up here. Yeah, great scripture. Wonderful scripture, really. Tells us about Jesus. Tells us about who he was and who he is. And it's interesting to note that the words that we see in this passage were a hymn. They had become a hymn in the early church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And they sang that together as an early church. They sang it together because they needed to be reminded constantly that when Jesus came into the world and he comes into our lives, we are to shine that light to the world. And so the early church made a point of that. So see, it's nothing new, really, that we sing hymns in church, or that we even sing some hymns that are newer to us. That's nothing new at all. I mean, that's been the way it's been from the very beginning of the church as we know it, from the book of Acts. That's how it's always been, that they sang these hymns. And John's writing here did become a very important hymn in the early church. It became an important hymn of their faith. Of course, hymns continued through the years. We know Martin Luther, of course, wrote many, many wonderful hymns and beautiful hymns. And some of them were local tunes that you could find down at the local pub. And they wrote different words to those hymns and those songs because... You knew that though, right? About some of our great hymns that we sing, they just took the melodies that they would find in the local pubs, and they would put different words to it. Didn't know that, did you? A mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. You know, I don't know the original words to that song, and they sang it in the pub, but that's where those tunes actually came from. So hymns are nothing new. And this is very much a hymn that we read today. It's interesting because for 400 years there had been silence. 400 years from the last of the prophets who came, the preachers who would come and talk about the one who was going to come, the Messiah. It had been 400 years of silence from God. 400 years, they call it 400 years. Often they call it 400 years of darkness reigned. 400 years of silence. And then, a little baby was born in a manger. 400 years of silence. Can you imagine? They continued on. They continued meeting, doing what they had to do in their synagogues. They continued to go through the process, but religion had become very cold. Belief in God had become rather routine because there was 400 years from God speaking through prophets to a little manger 400 years later. Pretty amazing. But you see, things changed at that moment. And I really think, actually, the star in the sky was representative of that. It represented the fact that light was coming into the world. And so, what does light do? You see, John talked about that in this first chapter. He talked about the light, and he mentioned the light to us. And so we realize a couple of things. First, that light exposes the darkness. Light exposes the darkness. The Greek term, you know, I can't avoid that. I just like to do it. But the Greek term for light is phos, from which we get, what are some of the words that we talk about light? Phosphorus? What else? Phosphate? Is that a light thing? Must be, because there's phos in it. Fuss, right. There's a pun in there somewhere. I just haven't quite gotten it yet. Just came to me. If it comes to me, I'll just interrupt what I'm doing and I'll talk about that. But the definition of fuss, certainly as we know it, is light. But in the New Testament, the definition means a couple of things. The manifestation of God's self-existent life. Phos, or light, means the manifestation of God's self-existent life. God created everything through Him, through Jesus, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everyone that was created, and His life brought light to everyone, brought phos. It also means, another definition is, divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Christ. So that's what phos represents. So when you hear the word light in this passage, or you hear the word light in other passages in the New Testament, that's what they're really trying to say. The manifestation of God's self-existent life. The manifestation of God in the world, light coming to the world. And divine illumination to reveal and impart life through Christ. So light exposes the darkness. Truth has a way of coming out. And light exposes darkness. Secondly, light shows us the way to go forward. Light shows us the way to go forward. And that verse again that I just read said that the Word gave life to everyone that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. Light has a way of bringing that. It shines in the darkness. So here's the thing. We've seen in our church, and I did another funeral. I was asked to do a funeral on Friday, so I had a funeral Friday. I had a funeral Saturday here for Joe Kupek, and we'll have one Monday tomorrow over at Emmanuel, and then Friday at 2 o'clock. By the way, Tracy said everyone's invited over to the graveside at 2 o'clock at Greenlawn. So we'd like you to do that. But you see, these last couple of weeks have not been good weeks. They really haven't. I mean, ministry is such an interesting thing. You plan things out and you say, well, this is how my week is going to go. And God says, he just kind of chuckles to himself and says, oh, really? You think that's how your week is going to go? Yeah, think again, buddy. But there are times in our life when we feel like we're walking through darkness and we don't really understand what's going on. We don't understand how to walk. We don't understand kind of what the next step is going to be. Light, when you shine light, when you have a torch, or you have a flashlight, you turn that flashlight on and you can see where you're going. I got to tell you some good news. My son finally got a notification from his manager this week that he can start looking for jobs up here at Eaton, for Eaton. Isn't that a good thing? Hallelujah. All right, thank you for coming. You can all go home. That's the good news to me today. But you know, we have a lot of conversations, Ben and I. We have a lot of conversations about this stuff, see? And Ben will ask me quite often, Dad, you know, how will I know what God wants me to do? How will I know what He wants me to do? How will I know His plan? How will I know His will? And Ben's kind of walking through a dark spot. It's not dark in a bad way. It's a great thing. But he's trying to find his way, you know. Now, he's 30 years old, so I don't tell him what to do anymore. As a matter of fact, my kids tell me what to do. And it is true. Come on. Oh, you know, I love to talk to young parents. It's so great. So often they'll say, well, I'm going to keep a tab on my children all the way through their life. Yeah, sure you are. Sure. And they're going to do exactly what you want them to do all the way through their lives. Nope. But here's what I tell them. I say, Ben, are you spending time in prayer? You talking to God a lot? I say, Ben, are you reading the scriptures? Are you getting to know Jesus better? Because guess what? He's the light. And when you get to know Him better, and when you get to walk closer with the Lord, He will expose the light to you. He will expose where you should go. He will let you know so that your desires are His will. And His will become your desires. Some of us are struggling through life quite a bit and trying to find out, you know, what the next step is. Where are we going to go? Well, my suggestion to you is get to know the Lord. Because He's light. And you feel an inkling, you say, you know, I probably should do this thing. Where's that coming from? That's coming from a divine heavenly Father who is guiding you. It's not rocket science, gang. You know, I've gone to seminars about God's will through the years, you know, and I've preached on God's will, and we make it so complicated. And all it is, what am I really thinking about this? I mean, I've evaluated everything. I've taken all the facts that I know about the decision I have to make, and so I'm gonna make that decision. I remember talking with Sierra through finding out which college she was gonna go to, and I said, well, what's your really gut feeling? Well, I think I want to go to Grove City. Well, there you go. Who's teaching you that? My question is always, are you reading the Word? Are you praying? If you're doing those things, you're getting to know Jesus, and He's the light. And the more you know Him, the clearer it becomes. He will make the way light for you. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Third, the darkness cannot extinguish the light. The darkness cannot extinguish the light. So, evil never wins. Remember Lori, Mom, I think I've said this here too. We would watch all those old TV shows, Maddox, and what were some of the other ones? Beretta. Mom would always say at the end of the show, well, she said two things. One, it's time to climb the golden stairs, which meant it's time to go to bed. Time to climb the golden stairs. And the other, she would say at the end of the show, she would say, be sure your sins will find you out. And that's, you know, she would always kind of put that little dig in there at the end of the show. But yeah. You see, darkness, no matter how hard it tries, cannot extinguish the light. Truth always finds a way of making it through all the garbage. We're watching it in Washington, D.C. right now. Truth makes its way through the darkness, and the darkness can't stop it. Jesus talked about the early church. And He said, you know, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the spreading of the gospel. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what that means? That doesn't mean that the gates of hell are storming us, but they won't make it. No, it's the other way around. We storm the gates of hell as Christians. And the gates of hell can't stop us. That's what it means. We always think, oh, the evil is all around us and we have to kind of hunker down here in the corner, but they'll never prevail. No, it's the other way around. We're the ones that are the aggressors as Christians. We have the truth on our side. And we go forward and we say, hey, we have the truth. Here is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Every other religion in the world, and this is true, and I've told you this, every other religion in the world only has a teacher that started it. They're teachers. They talk about you should do this and you should avoid this, you should live this way and do this. And if you live this way, if you're really, really sincere in your faith, then you'll get to nirvana, or you will find peace, or you will get into the flow of the stream of the universe and you will find happiness. Or, if you continue to follow these rules that, you know, your life will be ideal. You'll come back as something better than what you are. You know, you'll be reincarnated as a cow or something. So if it's according to how we've lived our lives, then I'm in big trouble. I'll come back as a little worm or something, you know, and some kid will eat me in his mud pie or something. Why am I talking about this? Anyhow, the thing of it is, every other religion in the world, and this is very true, every other religion in the world says you have to follow these rules. And if you follow these rules, then you'll find peace. Christianity is the only religion in the world that has ever existed that has said, no, that's not the truth. God said, I'm going to send you a Savior. Believe in Him. That's it. No rules, no regulations. You're not going to come back as a cow. I hope not. We are the only religion in the world, and Christ was the only one who was the Savior of the world. And it cannot stop the gospel going out. The darkness never wins. Darkness never wins. What about your life? Huh? I want to tell you, take heart. Because in the simplest truth, God is on your side. That's what Christmas means. Christmas means hope coming into the world. Christmas means light coming into the world. It means that the world would change forever because a Savior is born. Not a teacher. Not somebody who's just going to say, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you'll find happiness. And he says, happiness and fulfillment comes from knowing me. That's it. It's pretty great, isn't it? Yeah. Father, we thank you today for all that you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth that comes from this passage. Jesus, you are the light. You are the Phos of God. And you have shown the light into the darkness. The darkness couldn't comprehend it. The darkness couldn't understand it. But the truth always prevails because light will always shine in the darkness. So Father, bless us, we pray, as we take these words to heart. May we find them true in each one of our lives. We give you praise now through Christ our Lord. The people of God said, Amen.